Podcast.ph can be downloaded for free on iTunes by typing podcast.ph programs. You can also listen on Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Clamor, YouTube, and our official URL, podcast.ph. Like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+. Podcast.ph, the most active and fastest growing podcast network in the Philippines.
This is Salam Radio on podcast.ph.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. To our dear friends here in the Philippines and all over the world, greetings of peace, blessings, and mercy of God to all of you. This is another episode of Salam Radio. We hope to discuss a very important issue now, which is the BBL. We will talk to several Filipino Muslims to find out what their opinions are regarding this very important issue. In earlier episodes, I introduced myself as a revert or convert to Islam. I was formerly a Catholic and have become Muslim about 15 or so years ago. It is my wish, having seen both our Christian, my Christian families and friends, and my Muslim brothers and sisters, it's always been my wish that both sides, which are both decent people, will finally be able to live in peace. I don't think either side is evil. I think both sides are Filipinos trying their best to live in peace but finding themselves in a bad situation. So that's why I was really hoping that the BBL or some vehicle for peace would eventually pass and we could get this first step forward towards uniting as a country, both Filipinos, both Christian and Muslims, and with our Bangsamoro brothers who have given up secession in the peace agreement in order to live peacefully as Filipinos with a Bangsamoro identity, preserving their culture and heritage, yet living as Filipinos under our constitution. Our first interview is with a successful Muslim businessman, Abdul Ghani or Ghani Makatuman. Ghani is the vice president of the Turkish Chamber of Commerce in the Philippines. He's also a very high official of the International Chambers of Commerce in the Philippines, representing many different foreign businessmen in the Philippines, Malaysia, Turkey, etc., etc. I've decided to interview him to show that there are Muslim traders actually who have become very successful here in Manila, even if they left Mindanao, to take advantage of success in Manila. But one of the important things that Ghani has been able to do, by my personal knowing him, is to be able to integrate well with many of the people and the families here in Metro Manila. So he's truly able to swim in any environment that you put him in. And I'd like to say that shows how we Muslims like Ghani are still very much part and parcel of our diverse Philippine society.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ghani.
Yes, so, brother.
So, brother, what is their view of a successful Muslim businessman like you on the BBL?
Oh, yes. Bangsamoro discipline. Of course, this is very, very important to all of us, not only to the Muslim in the Philippines, but also to the non-Muslim, because if we have peace and order in the southern part, more particularly the Muslim area, where this proposed Bangsamoro Basic Law will govern, I think the real beneficiary here is the whole country, so to speak. Because, you know, if there is a peace and order in that area, the congestion, especially the Muslim Filipino that are coming here in Manila, the greater Manila area, would prefer to stay there if there is a peace and order there in the southern part of Mindanao. And you know, in Mindanao, in that area, if this BBL will take effect, we are very, very rich in mineral resources. So how can you make things happen if there is no peace and order? So that is the only solution that we have to establish peace and order in Mindanao for this DBL, so that you know, many natural resources. Of course, that area, the people there in Muslim the autonomous region are saying that they have the power, like the sources of the National Power Corporation. 90% is coming from Mindanao, particularly the August 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. But they're saying that we own the power in the Philippines, but we are powerless. So I think because BPL will define the sharing, the power sharing between the national government and you know, the autonomous, this Bangsamoro. So I think this is a very good, you know, very good gesture on the part of the national government, and more particularly the national, our national leader, to implement and pass into law this Bangsamoro Basic Law.
Brother Gani, I totally support the BBL, but how will the BBL bring peace and order to Mindanao?
You know, the I think we can involve many sectors, the consultation, because people are wondering also why this BBL is only exclusive to the MILF. So they have to consult, and this must be an inclusive, you know, peace agreement. So they have to involve the MILF, all the sectors, the indigenous, and also especially the Christian community inside the proposed BBL law. So, yeah, they have to make it more inclusive rather than exclusive only to MILF.
Alhamdulillah, brother. It's really inspiring to hear your story of success.
Yes.
How can more of our Bangsamoro brothers become successful like you? What will it take?
I think this is only an agreement. So to make things happen, to make it successful, still need that all the people of that area, the people of not only the people of the of this Muslim area, will join and be inclusive of this agreement. So to make it more successful, and we can see, and we are looking. For me, I am very positive that a lot of beneficiary, businessman like me and many individuals will benefit from this Bangsamoro Basic Law, and we have to do also our contribution, especially the businessman and the private sector also, because the government cannot be successful in this agreement if without the support and the participation of the private sector. So that is my position, brother.
Yes, brother. I was just wondering, in one case you have shown that Muslims like you can become very successful in the Philippines, while the provinces of Muslim or ARM in Mindanao are among the most poor in terms of poverty and social indicators. Why is that?
I think the solution for me is that let the people of that area govern themselves. Because they were saying that how can the people of Manila governing, managing the people of the autonomous region, the Muslim people. So for me, the solution would be let them govern themselves. You know, because the character of the people there is very different. So yeah, that is their complaint, that they have to adapt, they have to govern themselves. So I think they are also capable of governing themselves, so that because the corruption is the number one, you know, the number one reason why these provinces, these municipalities inside the autonomous, the Muslim area are the poorest. And, you know, because they're saying that sometimes the budget before arrived there in Mindanao, the budget always being corrupted here in the national level. So I think that is what, especially some infrastructure projects or the funds are sometimes goes to the pocket of the national leader before, you know, before it arrived to the, you know, the people of Mindanao. So I think that is somehow that is true.
Thank you so very much, brother, for this very enlightening interview. I remember when I was learning Islam, they said that a Muslim should be a model for mankind. And I'm glad I've been able to get to know you, who I believe is a model for the successful Muslim Filipino. Thank
you
so much.
My pleasure, my brother. It's my pleasure. And thank you for this, for this conversation.
Brother, would you have any final words?
Yes. First of all, I would like to thank all the listeners of this, program. To you, my brother Yusuf, thank you very much for this interview. And I hope we can continue enlighten our listener about, you know, about our real situation in Mindanao. And I hope that many businessmen like me also will support the consultation process and this Bangsamoro Bisiklo.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, brother. Thank you.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
This is Salam Radio on podcast.ph.
Our next interview is Brother or former Commissioner Maner Bajunaid. Professor Maner was the former Chancellor of Mindanao State University and part of the technical group or consultant in earlier peace talks with the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. His most recent position was as National Commissioner for Muslim Filipinos. As a commissioner for the National Commission for Muslim Filipinos. And he is one of our alim. Alim comes from the word alam or ilm in Arabic, meaning knowledge. In alim would be, the word alam is actually an Arabic word. So parang alim is yung nakakaalam in Tagalog. So he studied in Al-Azhar University, which is one of the premier Sunni institutions of learning in Islam. The prestigious Al-Azhar in Egypt. So we will try to contact him now. He was in a very important meeting for our organization, the Philippine Center for Islam and Democracy. Assalamualaikum, brother.
Hello. Waalaikumsalam, brother Yusuf. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. You're on on air in Martin Andonar's studio now. It's my honor, really, to be able to talk to you, brother. This is Brother Maner Bajunaid, my mentor in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His mercy, brought me to Islam. But the vehicle or the vessel that he used to make me a Muslim was Brother Maner Bajunaid. He taught me how
Allah's
to...
It's Allah's will.
Yes, by Allah's will. He was the one who taught me how to pray, how to fast during Ramadan. He was the one who helped me read the first translations of the Quran that I read. He was the one who helped me make shahada and become a Muslim. Brother... The first part of the program, this is called Salam Radio. So what we're trying to do is to bring, Martin's trying to podcast to the world because it's internet, our Bangsamoro community, right?
Okay, right.
Could you tell us some background, brother, how, because I know you're both Filipino, Arab, and Muslim, and a Mindanaoan. How did your... Arab, could you let us know how your Arab ancestors came to the Philippines or give us some background on that?
Yes, brother. My two grandfathers were Arabs. My paternal grandfather
was from Yemen, Hadramaut, a place called Hadramaut in Yemen.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
That's my paternal grandfather. My maternal grandfather was from Tunis, in Tunisia. That's North Africa.
Alhamdulillah.
That's, that's where my maternal grandfather came from. So on both sides, father and mother, my grandfathers were Arabs. But in the case of my paternal grandfather from Yemen, he came by trade all the way from Yemen.
By trade?
Passing through, yes, not directly, because during those days, towards the end of the 19th century, they had to travel from one place to another, establish some relationships and some business. For instance, in India, and then in the Malaysian Peninsula, in Singapore, and then eventually in Mindanao. In the case of my maternal grandfather, he was he came as a missionary, as a missionary from the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire. He was a missionary, and he came from Mindanao, also by way of India and the Malay archipelago. I came from Mindanao, and both my grandfathers married local women. My grandmother, or my paternal grandmother, came from Lanao del Sur, that's in Ganasi, Lanao del Sur, and my maternal grandmother came from small town in Maguindanao province, that's in Sultan Kudarat, the present municipality of Sultan Kudarat.
Do you have any memorable experiences from your parents and ancestors, or memorable experiences growing up as an Arab Filipino, meaning, you know, Maguindanao, Maranao, and Arab at the same time?
It was my father who really trained me and taught me how to be a practicing Muslim. He taught me the basic of Arabic language. At home, we speak Maguindanon as our dialect or language. My father was a disciplinarian. He was disciplinarian, and although we did not have any very high, he did not achieve a high education, but he could speak English. When I was in college, we wrote letters in English, so he spoke both Arabic and English, and established some mosques in our area in Cotabato, in General Santos. He was both a trader and a religious leader. My mother was a simple woman. He was very devoted to our family, very devout Muslim. I learned from her some basics of some values of Islam, like patience, being a true Muslim. So both my father and mother were influential in my life. My parents had the opportunity to travel to Egypt, and with my two brothers and one sister, and we stayed in Cairo, Egypt, for a while, for about 2 to 3 years. We were able to pick up some learnings in Arabic language.
What is the most memorable moment you had with your father?
The most memorable part is while he was a religious leader, he taught me all the basics of Islam. He taught me how to lead the prayer. I think one memorable part is the fact that When my father and mother went for Hajj, I was then 14 years old, and my father was managing a department store in General Santos, and they left for about, they were away for about 2 months. He designated me as the acting manager of that department store, which is one of the more recognized landmarks, so to speak, in General Santos during those days. And at 14 years old, I had to manage our store, and I had to manage a small farm while my parents were away. It was my father who taught me business, so taught me how to handle business and handle customers. So my father was really not just a religious leader or a teacher, but also a trader.
Alhamdulillah, brother. It seems trading is so much part of the Muslim tradition.
We always pray the five times prayer at home. And then when my father established that mosque in General Santos, he will ask me to lead the prayer at an early age of about 14, 15 years old, to lead the Taraweeh prayer, the prayer during Ramadan, the nightly prayers.
Yes.
He would ask me to lead the Taraweeh prayers and ask me also, he also trained me how to deliver khutbah.
Yes,
so, but I didn't attempt to deliver khutbah until I finished my education in the Middle East.
In Al-Azhar?
Partly in Al-Azhar, but also at the Islamic International Islamic University in Islamabad, Pakistan.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Brother, from that background, what led you to become commissioner of the National Commission on Muslim Filipinos? What was that experience like?
You know, in my life, the more important positions that I have, both in government and in private capacity as advisor and consultant to several foreign-funded agencies projects in Mindanao, particularly in the case of the NCMF, it was my academic background as chancellor and professor of Islamic studies at Mindanao State University, General Santos. The government then was starting to establish the National Commission on Muslim Filipinos, the NCMF, and they required to come up with a commission with 9 commissioners, but they wanted one commissioner who has an academic background, meaning who has been in the academe, and my name was suggested. They asked me if I'm available for the position. It took them only 2 days to make that announcement that I had been appointed as a commissioner.
Brother, as a commissioner, do you feel the commissioners in the NCMF have an opportunity to make a difference in the life of Muslim Filipinos? Are they effective?
In a small way, yes, position? I think so. And I can be proud of my one distinct achievement in the span of 2 years, in my 2-year term as commissioner. We were able to come up with the accreditation of halal certifiers of halal products. You know, the NCMF, being part of its mandate, is to accredit halal certifiers, certifiers of halal food products. And during my term as commissioner, I was designated by the commission and also by the secretary, then secretary of the NCMF, to oversee the program on halal, the promotion of halal in the Philippines. That's one of the major achievements that I had in while commissioner of the NCMF.
Yes. If I may ask, brother, if NCMF was already successful in halal certification, why are some of our brothers pushing this halal certification board bill now in the Congress?
The NCMF, you know, the precursor of NCMF, the Office of Muslim Affairs, the OMA. And it has been a practice of OMA to certify halal products. But when the Supreme Court, when there was a petition for OMA to stop certifying halal products, this certifying of halal products has been stopped by the Office of Muslim Affairs. With the advent of the NCMF, they have been asked to accredit halal products. But there is a move now in Congress by some sectors who...
some of our Muslim lawyers.
NCMF authority to accredit halal products.
Yes.
Halal products. In other words, I think there's a bill now that will remove that authority from the NCMF to accredit the halal certifiers. And I'm saddened by that because I thought maybe the NCMF should have that role, but I think some sectors would like to take that out from NCMF and bring it to the I think the DTI or the Department of Agriculture which to me is not the expertise of either of the government agencies. I think it is the NCMF who has that moral authority to be to accredit halal certifiers.
Yes. Brother, if there is already an NCMF that provides this assistant and role to Muslim Filipinos, why do we need a BBL? What are your views on why we need a BBL?
Well, you see, NCMF, the mandate of NCMF is to look into the welfare of the Muslims in the Philippines who live outside, who are living outside the ARMM, the autonomous region. So it is an agency that is specifically tasked to look after the welfare of the Muslims in the Philippines, particularly those living outside the ARMM. Whereas the BBL, when it is approved by both houses of Congress, will now look into the welfare of Muslims within autonomous region, within the specific autonomous region, given the geography, the areas of the autonomy. So they have probably similar mandates, but the geographical area covered by these two, by NCMF and the areas of the BBL, autonomous region, are totally different.
If the BBL is not passed by Congress in time, will there be a problem, brother?
If not passed on time, meaning if the present Congress will not pass the BBL, it would be a problem because people are anticipating that peace and development will now be achieved in the Philippines, in Mindanao, not only by the locals, not only by people in Mindanao, but the whole country is waiting for that opportunity for us to look forward and say enough is enough, time to bring peace and development into the area. And you know, the international community is also expecting the implementation of the BBL at the latest by July of next year, after the elections, the national elections. So, you know, the whole world, you know, the peace process between the government and the MILF has been the involvement of international community, countries like the United Kingdom, Japan, of course Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Brunei, Turkey, and the European Union. They have been involved in the peace process between the Philippine government and the MILF. So, and these countries, as well as funding agencies, you name it, USA, JICA, UN agencies have been preparing for this moment, for the approval of the BBL and the implementation of the new autonomous authority, autonomous government, the new autonomous government. And as a matter of fact, there has been the Bangsamoro development plan that has been prepared by both the government and the MILF, with support coming from different funding agencies. So I think the momentum has to go on, and if this is stopped, I think it will create disillusionment, at least, you know, from among our people and from our community in Mindanao, and in fact, even the international community.
Alhamdulillah, brother. So what will be the peace dividend for the whole nation by the passage of the BBL? Economic,
well, it
education?
Has been said, yes. Of course, investments will now pour in. As they say, there cannot be development if there is no peace. So with peace in the land, I think there will be more investments, both local and foreign investments coming in. There have been sectors of the business. I mean, there have been establishments or companies, both local and foreign, lining up to invest in Mindanao. And this is a golden opportunity. You know, the business community in Mindanao, business community of the Philippines, several different chambers have come up with resolution urging Congress to approve the BBL, an acceptable version of the BBL at least. Different sectors in the religious community, different civil society groups have been urging Congress, both houses, to accelerate the approval of the BBL so that peace will reign in Mindanao. And the dividends, of course, is in terms of giving opportunity to our less developed areas in the Philippines. As we know, the Muslim areas, the autonomous areas, autonomous region in Mindanao has been said to have the least, the lowest income bracket, you know, the least developed in not only in Mindanao but in the Philippines. So all this will now bring down, all these benefits will bring down to our people in Mindanao, and it will now spread all over Mindanao, the development process. So I think we are looking forward to a brighter future for Mindanao.
Brother, what would you say to those critics? And of course, I am totally for the BBL to pass, no? But what would you say to those critics who just want a continued or improved implementation of ARMM rather than the BBL? How would we answer those critics?
ARMM has done some part for the welfare of people in Mindanao. I think I don't want to repeat what the president said, that's a failed experiment, but sometimes it's tempting to say that again, but you know, whether or not it is a failed experiment, I think we need to improve on what has been achieved before, what has been achieved in previous peace processes. You know, the MILF and the government peace process took 17 years to come up with a framework agreement and a comprehensive agreement, and the BBL, I think, with the participation of the international community in coming up with the two-piece agreements, I think this will give a new future for our people, something we look forward as a better option for the Muslims, for the Bangsamoro in Mindanao.
You are one of the leaders or lead conveners of the Philippine Center for Islam and Democracy. And what does PCID do? Or what is PCID?
It is what we call a both research and a think tank and a research institute or organization forum for the discussion and the implementation of some programs that deal with human rights, rule of law, peace building, good governance. All these are part of the mandate of the Philippine Center for Islam and Democracy. And I'm happy to be part of that, to be one of the conveners of the PCID. And we are working on several fronts, including looking at the welfare of our women, particularly in the autonomous area.
One of the leading personalities of PCID, Magbasa Kita Foundation, and its whole NGO grouping is former Senator Santanina Rasul. She was the last Muslim senator of the Philippines, and you yourself ran as senator a few years ago, ran for senator together with Sister Amina Rasulu, also ran for senator. Why don't we have a Muslim senator up to today? since Senator Santa Nina Rasul.
Oh, yes. Senator Rasul and the late Romito Tamano were the last two senators, Muslim senators we had in the Senate. I think it will be difficult. You know how it is with our electorates. They pick or they vote for those who are more popular, household names. Sad to say that none of our Muslim candidates have, achieved or reached that.
Is there a possible solution?
Level of popularity as compared to the rest of the candidates.
Is there a possible solution to such a problem?
I think the most possible solution is to amend the constitution and allow for a more decentralized system of government. An alternative would be a federal system or a system where we can elect our senators by region.
Alhamdulillah.
In that way, brother, we can be assured that at least in regions where there are predominant Muslims, we can send senators from our regions, from the Muslim regions. So that will assure some number, a good number of senators.
On that note, I thank you very much, yes, brother,
my pleasure,
this enlightening interview.
Thank you. Also,
thank you, Jazakallahu Khair. May God reward you. That's what it means.
Yes.
May God reward you for bringing me to Islam
and making me one
of your brothers.
And, my pleasure to be interviewed by a colleague, a esteemed colleague. Thank you very much, brother.
Well, I'm your pupil.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much, my mentor. Wa iyyakum, which means and to you also.
And to you also,
brother.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jumaa Mubarak. Have a blessed Friday, brother. And maybe one of these days we can have Jumaa together and have lunch, as I was planning.
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to do that. Yeah, it'll be my pleasure.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Thank you.
Assalamualaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
This is Salam Radio on podcast.ph.
Our next interview is Brother Ali Reza Konting, head convener of the Muslim Interorganizational Group or Interorganizational Meeting. This is a grouping of various Muslim organizations that work on lobbying in various bills that are important, legislative bills to Muslim Filipinos. Some of the successful work that Brother Ali Reza has led the lobbying on has been the Muslim holidays that we now enjoy as national holidays, the bill on that, the bill on the forming the National Commission on Muslim Filipinos, and many other mostly important issues, including the current halal bill, the bill forming a halal accreditation board for the halal industry in the Philippines. Brother Ali Reza is a very humble leader, but I can say personally that he has led many of the campaigns from behind the scenes that are important to Muslim Filipinos. Assalamualaikum, brother. You're on air, okay?
Assalamualaikum.
I'm so happy to be able to interview you, Brother Ali Reza Konting. Because I remember, brother, you're the one who lobbied for so many of the important bills
in the Senate.
You've always, the various holidays, Muslim holidays that we have today are because of you. Your lobbying efforts, as well as the National Commission for Muslim Filipinos. You're so low-key, brother. Could you give us a little introduction of yourself, because what I'm presenting in Salam Radio is our Muslim community, and you are one of the leaders of our community. So we can present to a worldwide audience, the Bangsamoro community. Could you let us know where you came from in Tawi-Tawi, your childhood education, and how you became to become so active in lobbying for and promotion of issues that are important to Muslims.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Thank you so much, brother Yusuf Joy Ledesmano, for this opportunity. Though I may not be able to give justice to your interview.
I'm sure you inshallah, you will give more than justice to the interview, brother. I'm sure.
Yes, but nonetheless, maraming salamat, kapatid.
Maraming salamat
din. I'm from Tawi-Tawi.
Yes, brother.
Municipality of Tandubas, Tawi-Tawi. It became a province in 1973, September 27, 1973, after the declaration of martial law. It was then, before Tawi-Tawi, it was part of Sulu. Sulu and Tawi-Tawi was one province before. And then at that time, we were still in the elementary, but because of war, you know, martial law years, so we evacuated to one municipality, to another municipal barangay, and then to Zamboanga City also, where I took my, I rather finished my grade 6 and first year high school, and then finished my high school here in Roosevelt home site in Cubao. Then 1979, I took up AB Political Science at the Western Mindanao State University in Zamboanga City. There, we became active in some Muslim advocacies or concerns, no? For instance, at that time, there was a move to resume peace talks between the government of Cory Aquino and then Chairman Nur Miswari of the MNLF, and we formed the Young Mindanaoans for Peace with some student leaders of the said university, and we then passed a petition to both the government and the MNLF to resume the peace negotiation. And alhamdulillah, it was acknowledged. In fact, we were invited to some peace meetings in Zamboanga City, and because then our bridge to President Cory was Senator Santanina Rasul, and to the MNLF was late Ustad Zain Zali, the religious advisor, was also our advisor in our Muslim Students Association at that time, the MSA, you know, of Zamboanga City. It was first established in Zamboanga City at the Western Mindanao State University. Now, Muslim Students Association branched out to different provinces, not only in Zamboanga City, in particular in Region 9, alhamdulillah.
Is so the UP Muslim Students connected, rather?
Married a woman from dito, a neighboring municipality of Metro Manila.
Alhamdulillah.
With 4 children. Oo, alhamdulillah.
Your wife is a very devout Muslim, as I can see, and your whole family.
Mashallah.
Brother, you know, just so that our audience can understand, this will be posted on the internet. What happened? What forced during the war that you were forced to evacuate? Was your house hit? Were some of you affected?
Yes, of course. Because at that time, the MNLF was called the Black Church. And then sometimes the Tora-Tora bomb or...
the Tora-Tora are the government
some
planes.
So including us, we hide inside the cave because there were some, they call it Black Church at that time. And until later on, some MNLF members, but they were popularly known or called as Black Church, no? They turned over themselves to government side, or naging balikbayan sila, tawag doon. And they were, of course, given positions like that. but others remain in the mountains and still a part of the then the Misuari solid group, the MNLF. And in Zamboanga City, we were also very, active in helping rather the peace process. Including mga yung sa Zamboanga City noon, may mga that time mga rumble ba? Sometimes school wide or even city wide. Kahit time ni Mayor Late Lima ko noon.
Who was fighting in the rumble, brother?
So it has been, should we say, with modesty aside, our passion, to serve and to do something good. As a Islam states that a Muslim is a peace love, it must be a peacemaker. Islam is a religion of peace. So for as long as we have that good intention to help our fellow human being, especially some problems, addressing some problems in our society. So, abang nabubuhay pa tayo, why not take advantage, di ba?
Brother, if I may you were part of the Muslim families that really saw the war having to evacuate and being bombed by the government forces. Yes. Why did you decide to then, as a university activist, promote peace instead of joining the MILF armed struggle?
Pardon, brother. Not clear.
Why did you decide, as a university activist, to promote peace rather than join the armed struggle of the MILF, MNLF?
In war or in conflict, sa tingin natin, sabi nila, walang panalo eh. Oo. And besides, brother, we have the longest armed struggle, perhaps in the whole world, since the 1300 when our brothers from Spain came over, and there where should we say problems started, notwithstanding the Moro, they call it the Moro American War, and then the short-lived war with the Japanese. So, and now we have internal problem. Tayo lang. We all belong to this country. We are citizens of this country, regardless of our religion. Brother, many of us are tired already of living, seeing some people being killed, instead of loving each other, sharing with each other whatever good we had, working with each other for the good of our country. You compare our country with other countries. Until today, we have different crimes. It's a daily occurrence. Oh, this problem is not only the problem of government, but the problem of the entire citizenry. Oh, so after all, brother, we have only one life to live, no? So why can't we not cooperate with each other? Oh,
brother, very alhamdulillah, meaning praise be to God. I just explained, no? You said it very beautifully, having been yourself a victim of war, your family.
Yes, brother. And we were evacuees.
You know, it's really true that those who have not seen war, the ones who want to have war, while people like you who have really experienced war are the ones who are really for peace to happen. Alhamdulillah, brother. So, brother, I guess that's the reason we need the BBL to pass. What is your opinion on that, brother?
It is one very important legislation pending in Congress now. It's a Muslim-friendly, Muslim-related legislation, no? Hopefully, be passed into law. But it may not necessarily be during the present administration. Although we are not so familiar with many specifics of the said bill, no, the BBL. Although yung the earlier that was submitted by both the Philippine government and the MILF peace panels, that was also screened and studied well by Malacañang and submitted to Congress, medyo okay yun sa, as it has been observed. But then after some discussions or deliberations in both houses, medyo nagkaroon ng pagbabago. Of course, our congresspersons have their own wisdom, no? They are our legislators, and they are free to make some amendments to said bills, no? But then the bottom line is, instead of, let's say, opposing some provisions, perhaps it can be corrected, no, or even improved, and then make the BBL be acceptable to everyone, not just to the MNLF, the MILF, the Philippine government, but to all of us.
Alhamdulillah, brother.
Of course, there's a great challenge, no, for all of us, kasi there are also other groups. But then, by and large, ang kwan dyan, kapayapaan.
And yes.
Siguro naman, lahat gusto natin itahak yung daan kung saan yung kapayapaan at pagbabago sa ating bansa.
Yes, so, brother.
Although I heard na medyo hindi na katulad dati yung ang laman niya, and in fact maybe the MILF side na maari hindi nila magustuhan yung iba doon, but then we would like to appeal to all sides, kung huwag natin mamadaliin ipasa yan. Sa itong administration. Ang mahalaga, brother, it is well studied, well participated by different groups or organizations or peoples, no? Whether majority, minority, Highlanders. Massive tayo, brother. Reaching out to different communities. And empower them. Let them participate. Dapat alam nila ito, Brad, anong batas.
Yes.
Siguro naman na maybe some would agree na hindi massive yung information dissemination and participation of grassroots. Mahalaga yun eh. We are talking of the farmers, the fisher folks, the studentry. And everyone should rally behind this peace efforts. The media can play a vital role, brother.
Yes,
in
brother.
Helping our government, in helping our secessionist movements and other armed groups to come together, come to peace negotiation, and let us solve the problems yung totoong solusyon. Federalism is still very much talk about now. So
what do you think
yan,
about do you think about federalism as a possible way?
Yes, kasi may mga ibang mga like the Bicol region, in fact in the past, kahit itong mga Visayas, no, some Visayas areas, gusto nila rin na yung maging autonomous or even sort of even independence, di ba? Allah knows best, no? I stand to be corrected. Pero, I mean, a meaningful, substantial powers for the different regions to exercise themselves, to chart their own destiny, brother.
Yes,
you know,
brother.
You know, brother, the problems of this country is not that simple. Oo. Yes, eh, kumbaga sa sakit, cancerous na yan. Oo. So, yung problema na yan, if our unitary form of government, the presidential type, can no longer solve it, then let us find a way. In fact, some candidates now are, or non-candidates, even the Mindanao Independence Movement before, hanggang ngayon, yung federalism nandyan, the likes
yes,
of our respected leader, Senator Pimentel,
yes,
even
yes.
Mayor Duterte, and others, no? Eh, federalism, nakikita nila ang that we must try to study. The whole country must try to study.
Yes, and as Senator Pimentel said recently, there are successful examples in Malaysia and in India. Oh. India, which is so big and hard to govern, no?
Oh.
And of course, the United States are all federal states, no?
Federal
type of government. And what I like about the federal idea also is that that no group can now complain that one is getting more than the other, because the Cebuanos will get, equal to Imperial Manila, the Ilocos region will get it, and at least for once we will have our own autonomous federal state in Muslim Mindanao, equal to all other federal states.
Correct. Oh,
para in my case, parang walang inggitan na.
Correct.
And then you actually stated exactly what Senator Pimentel was saying in a recent meeting with your relative, Senator Santa Nina Rasul.
Yes.
She's your auntie, right?
Cousin.
Your cousin.
Our mothers are sisters.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Senator Rasul met with Senator Pimentel recently, a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
And Senator Pimentel said exactly as you said, he really wants peace to happen, having been governor, mayor sa CDO, ano ba siya noon?
Yes,
mayor?
Yes, Cagayan.
Eh, oh.
Oro ba yun?
Having seen the relationships and all that, he really wants peace to happen, as you said. And his idea nga was exactly what you said, which is to pass the BBL and then at least a first step towards peace. And we can at that time correct some of the problems with the BBL, because there will be a bicameral committee.
Yeah.
And several things like that, and he was pushing for federalism as a final solution to a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it will be discussed after the BBL is passed. Senator Pimentel still wishes to pursue federalism with the BBL as an example of a successful federal state.
Correct.
Brother, can you talk about the other bills that you have been able to pass through the Senate? I remember, as a backgrounder, Brother Alireza Conting has been one of the movers behind many of the bills that have passed through our Senate, including the Muslim Holidays Bill and other bills, and through the MIOM that he is a leader of, the Muslim Interorganizational Meeting, he has been able to mobilize many Muslim organizations and resource speakers to speak in Congress and the Senate on this, to push for these values bills. So,
yes,
brother, maybe you can discuss some of the bills or concerns that you are now pushing in the Senate or lobbying for, like the Halal Bill.
Yes, brother, if we may know, with the indulgence of our listeners and brothers and sisters.
Because NCMF commissioners wish that NCMF will continue to be the halal certifier, but maybe your comments on this.
Yes, You mentioned the national holidays that we are now enjoying. Actually, even during the time of late President Cory Aquino, we talked to one office of the senator at the time to initiate a bill, to file a bill making the primarily una yung Idul Fitr as national holiday. But they were saying that there's a separation of church that is not possible. So until 1996-1997, so we organized here with some brothers, if I may mention, like Brother Ed Usman of Manila Bulletin, and some brothers in Dawa centers. And fortunately, former senator, now commissioner, Gerson Alvarez, he filed, brother, in the Senate when he was a senator, yung Idul Fitr. So we rallied behind his effort in the Senate and requested some Muslim congresspersons in the House of Representatives to file a counterpart bill, but it was not possible at that time. So when he became a congressman in the House of Representatives, so we asked him to file his bill, and he did file. So you would note in both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, it was the pioneering effort of Senator Gerson Alvarez na nag-umpisa yan. And then later on, of course, we are very thankful to Senator Loren Legarda, Senator Magsaysay, Pimentel, and in the House also, na Idul Fitr and Idul Adha was made possible out of their concern and respect for us Muslim minority na pumasayan hanggang ngayon. Alhamdulillah, we are grateful to those who sponsored the bills and who supported it. Oh, alhamdulillah, recognizing our two only festivities of the Muslim Ummah. We have the national the
NCMF bill.
Formerly Office of Muslim Affairs. Medyo yung grupo natin through the Muslim Interorganizational Meeting, kasi it's a meeting of different both registered organization or non-registered organization and group of concerned Muslim individuals. In fact, including government offices, no? Muslims who are working in government are partner participants of MIOM. It was started in 1998, and until today, alhamdulillah, nandyan pa rin ang naglalabi sa mga bills, no? Sa Congress. And at present, brother, we are thankful to some senators like Senator Cynthia Villa, Trillanes, Bong Revilla, and Miriam Defensor. They filed 4 separate bills in the Senate recognizing the importance of the development of a halal industry in our country. And in the House, we are also grateful to Congressman Mark Villar, may counterpart bill siya doon, yung tungkol sa halal. Now, yung apat na bills yun, nagkaroon ng substitute bill. The title before in the Senate and in the House, yung Philippine Halal Accreditation and Regulatory Board.
This is Salam Radio on podcast.ph.
At the end of the day, I agree with Brother Ali Reza and many other Filipinos, just like Senator Nene Pimentel. It's time for us to live together in peace in the Philippines. As I said at the start of Salam Radio, I want my Muslim brothers and sisters, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and my Christian family and friends to finally be able to live together in peace. We are part of Filipino society. We are not a foreign group, as some would say. We are part and parcel, just like Gani Makatuman, who has become successful in bringing international business and foreign investments and exports and imports to the Philippines. So I think we should all live together in peace and work for development, investment, and prosperity for all. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of God be with all of our listeners. Thank you. This is Yusuf Ledesma from Salam Radio, broadcast on podcast.ph.
This podcast.ph presentation is supported by Martin Andanar's Homecast Studio and Audio.ph.